Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now. My name is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Joshua Von Wheeler. Tonight's guest is the new Anarchy Wrestling champion, Billy Buck, who also challenges for the APW Southern States Championship this weekend at Alternative Pro Wrestling's Freedom Fight. And before we get started, it's that time of year again where Creative Loafing's Best of Atlanta poll is going on. Wrestling with Pop Culture has won Best Local Blog the past 2 years, and I also won Best Local Blogger last year, and I would love to win one or both of those once again. You can go to clatl.com/bestofatlanta, I believe it is, and from, July 13th through July 19th is when you can vote for the best blog, best blogger. You can also vote for Best radio show, I believe, if you feel so inclined. I don't know if Georgia Wrestling History or Georgia Wrestling Now fits that description, but that's never stopped anybody from voting previously. I think that's also when you can vote for Best Local Athlete, so there are plenty of wrestlers that would fit that bill, and I think it would be pretty cool if a local wrestler won over, say, a Falcons player or a Braves player or something like that.
That would be kind of awesome, actually.
Yeah. So.
Ask how they get so many votes.
What's that?
How would a wrestler get that many votes? Because, I mean, you know, it's Freddie Freeman gets like a million votes at the All-Star game. Is there actually a million people that knows a wrestler in the Georgia independent scene?
Well, it's not.
I guess AJ Styles.
Yeah, possibly.
You know what? That's it. Let's start a campaign for AJ Styles to be the athlete for the Creative Loafing.
Is he still the IWGP champion?
I believe he is, actually.
Well, that is an accomplishment, to say the least. So, yeah, why not? Let's say AJ Styles. Vote for AJ Styles. Vote for WrestlingWithPopCulture.com for Best Local Blog. Again, that's July 13th through July 19th, so I will likely be mentioning this again next week. But we've got other plugs we've got to do, so go for it.
Yes, we do. We are sponsored by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information. I'm actually on it right now on my nifty Samsung Note 3, and you can get this on all of your smart devices, including tablets and cell phones. And it's real simple to use. You just go to audibletrial.com/GWH Radio, and we're going to give you a 30-day free trial. And I'm looking at some of the audiobooks right now that's available. We got the Lonesome Dove Classics right now. You can listen to one of the greatest westerns of all time by Larry McMurtry. They got the brand new one by Joan Rivers. They got the Book of Life is on here, which is a top one. Brad Thor's Act of War, which is a top seller. To Kill a Mockingbird if you're in eighth grade literature class and have to get ready for your exam. And also they get the new Daniel Silva, The Heist. I mean, tons of books on here. It's so easy to use. Just go right now, audibletrial.com/GWH Radio, and get your 30-day free trial. And just note that this is the way of the future, people. Listening to audiobooks, you will never have to read again. So if you only get a fifth grade education level, it's quite all right because someone can read to you.
Very good. So, how was your Independence Day weekend, Josh?
Very, very, very therapeutic. I literally caught up on 3 days of sleep. I was so excited. It has been the most hectic 30 days of my entire life, and I'm not just talking about because of Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. Just a lot of stuff going on in my personal life. Most of you guys know about it. And just having those 3 days to finally decompress and to finally relax was absolutely a godsend. It was just, it felt so good to not worry about anything, not to think about anything, not to do any kind of real work over the weekend. So I truly, truly enjoyed having those 3 days off. I don't even, I did watch a little bit of the WWE Network, but I really didn't watch a lot of wrestling this weekend, believe it or not. I was more on Netflix binge watching.
Yeah. Well, glad to hear that. I unfortunately wasn't able to attend any of the many wrestling events, but it looks like it was a pretty good weekend for Georgia wrestling. I saw Harold J. Taylor of Headlocks and Headshots Photography is now bald and beardless.
Is he going to join Zach Edwards and Marvelous Marco or Marvelous Michael Stevens tag team?
And Marvelous Marco Polo, for that matter.
Oh, that's right, Marco's. Yeah, I didn't think about that. He could be a member as well.
Well, perhaps that's a new faction in the making.
There are a ton of bald wrestlers in Georgia now that I think about it.
Yeah. Well, Billy Buck still has his hair.
Yes, hopefully he'll keep it so he can stand out a little bit more.
So I will say this.
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, if you did not get a chance to see the Jeff G. Bailey promo that he cut to hype that show that was on the 4th of July, you have to see this promo. There's a reason why I say Jeff G. Bailey is one of the greatest talkers in the history of the business, not just in Georgia, not just in independence. I mean in the business. If you cannot watch that promo and take something away from it and make you say, oh, my God, this is what professional wrestling promoting and promos are supposed to be, then I had to question when you started watching professional wrestling. I guess it was around the 2003, 2004 era when 15-minute dialogues and this monotone voice became the standard. Because Jeff G. Bailey changes his diction, changes his tone, changes the way he does everything. This promo is a must-watch. I'll have to find the link and share it. But it was just absolutely outstanding, the greatness that was that promo.
Well, I haven't seen that either. But, yeah, if you find the link.
I'm looking for it right now. It's so freaking amazing.
Well, we've got a familiar voice online with us now. Larry Goodman, is that you?
Yes, couldn't agree more with what you just said about Mr. Bailey's promo, and the contained in the report on the PCW show, as well as posted in a separate spot on, in the news and notes. So you can easily find it in the GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com news and notes section if you want to take a look. And yes, I mean, that goes back to the days when at least for me, I'd watch there might be a show coming up on Saturday night, and I didn't know if I was going to go or not, or whether it was really interesting. And sometimes those promos on that last GCW TV show before would make the decision for me. And that was one of those, like, if I saw that promo, it's like, yeah, I'm going to that show. I'm going to see that match.
Well, and that's the thing. I read Ole Anderson's book a few weeks ago, and he even said that they didn't even promote the Omni shows until the night before.
That's right.
And I was like, it flabbergasted me for a little bit. But then, I was like real young when that was going on. But now thinking back of, like, that was what they did. But that's how, like, hardcore that go-home show used to be. And now it's like you watch WWE's go-home shows, you watch TNA's go-home shows, and they fell so miserably to do the most basic thing, get you to buy this show coming up Sunday.
Right, right.
So I don't know. That's why I cannot fathom why Jeff G. Bailey is not a millionaire. I can't fathom it. It makes no sense to me.
Well, he didn't, I guess, through the powers that be, he was too over the top, or they didn't like the way he looked. I mean, I don't know, but I'm just guessing that it was those kind of things.
I guess.
This one certainly had some over the top elements in this promo. I mean,
but that's the thing, it was over the top, but at the same time, there it was. I mean, he took a news story that's 3-4 weeks old. Sure, it probably would, a corporate company would be like, oh, we can't say that. But I mean, for some of these small independent companies that are not small, but let's throw out maybe a Combat Zone or maybe a Beyond or maybe even some of these promotions that are doing good business right now up in the Northeast. why they're not calling this guy and saying, here's $500, we're flying you in, come sell this show for us, come get these guys over. I don't understand it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure glad we have him in Georgia, and that guys in Georgia can learn from him as they
Everybody,
are doing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, he's become a great teacher. But you just go ahead and I'm telling you, 2014 Manager of the Year award, just toss it to him. Like, I'm a huge fan of Kevin Pierce. I'm a huge fan of Logan Chase. I feel like those guys do really good job on some of these other smaller independents, but you just can't take the award from Bailey. You just can't. No one can touch him.
So, Larry.
Yes, sir.
What brings you on this week?
I heard what Josh was saying, and I just wanted to echo that. And if you weren't aware where it could be found, to say where, of course, that it could be found on GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the news and notes. If you want to look at Bailey's,
I was literally about to go there too. So.
And and of course there were two really good, at least two shows I attended. I thought were both
and I was actually
going
to ask you, how was Peach State Live? Reading your report, I know you kind of put over. Reading your report, it's like it looked like guys worked 3-4 times. Like I was a little confused by that. Was it just a down roster for that night? Like what was going on?
Well, no, I will say, yeah, and I didn't really explain that in the report. I was going to put it in the news and notes post. But the Yehi worked twice, and that was. A legit situation where Kevin Blue really does have an elbow injury, and
okay.
Jimmy Rave also had an issue that prevented him from being there. So they had to book that on the fly. They did not know they were not going to have that match until
right.
they got to close to showtime. So they had to come up with something on the fly to make that Yehi Haven Jr. match. So that's why those guys worked twice. And, of course, everybody piled into the Battle Royal.
Right. So I noticed that the Southern Cross was not on that show, or did that just miss the word?
They were not on that show. Yeah, they were not booked for the show, and neither were the new tag champs. Who I'm sorry, I'm forgetting
the team name,
Lex Lee and Kevin Kaufman.
The Young Lions, who just
right.
happened to wrestle very similar to the Young Bucks, but yes,
right.
Not saying that they're like the Young Bucks. I'm just saying they have similarities to the Young Bucks.
No, I certainly wouldn't say they're like the Young Bucks. They're certainly not the Young Bucks on offense. That's definitely not the case.
I mean,
learning.
Attire and posing and, you know, that's all I meant. So.
Yeah. They're learning. They got a ways to go.
So in the big world of professional wrestling, Santino Marella retired.
Really?
I know that was one of your favorites, Jonathan.
Well, I didn't mind him. I thought he had his moments, but I hadn't heard him.
It would have been awesome if you would have said, yeah, he was one of my favorites. I love comedy wrestlers.
So did he retire to avoid getting cut?
The story is that he got hurt again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's quite possible that, I mean, you know, here he is looking at everybody else getting cut. And I also find it funny that here they are cutting roster spots, and they're cutting all the lower-level guys but then bringing back Jericho. So who knows? I guess I think Jericho can still sell tickets.
I don't think he would have been in danger of getting cut. I mean, he filled a certain role there. Unlike JTG or Kurt Hawkins, unfortunately. I mean, he was at least on TV fairly regularly.
Yeah, I guess you got a point there. I just the way the rumors are starting to sound is like I wouldn't be surprised if like 10 more guys get cut by October.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
So,
well,
I have my money on
rehired.
Sammy Callahan right now. Who retired?
Apparently, Emma got fired and rehired.
Oh yeah. That happened that's right. She was fired and rehired within 2 hours. So, Larry, anything else going on in the wrestling world?
Well, I just the usual stuff in the Georgia scene, you know. I mean,
it's kind of a slow week, wasn't it? I mean, there was a lot of shows, but I mean, like news wise, it was a slow week.
Yeah, I guess so. I just enjoyed the two major shows this weekend, and I'm curious to see where they.
So, how did the War Games match? How did it look live?
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing that stood out about it was the way they told a clear story with the War Games, and it didn't get all mishmashed together in clusterish, they were able to clearly tell the story they wanted to tell and get over all the major points. So it worked very well. You know, the thing about the outdoor show, it tends to the building they run in is very loud. It's all hard surfaces, and so even with 50 people in the building, it's a very loud place. Then they go outside where all the sound dissipates, and it was interesting to see, like, their 50 people inside the building were a lot louder than the 300 people outside the building.
Right. So, now, okay, so they did the front row where it's like 50, 60 people, and those guys pay, and then everybody else is free. So your report said a little, like 200, 300 in that area, right? So do these people now go and check out the product when they're back on July 19th?
Yeah, I mean, my sense from the previous two war games is that they don't, that they have their regulars and that these are casual people who come out for the fireworks and come out to check out the wrestling because it's free and it's on before the fireworks. But do they get many fan converts out of it, regulars out of it? And I think not.
Gotcha. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Well, it looks like we've been joined by tonight's guest.
Yay!
All right, well, let's talk to the show.
And I mean, you cut it off right when it got good.
Well, I don't really know how long to let those things go with the entrance music thing.
I think technically we're only allowed to play 29 seconds, but I get what you're saying.
Well, anyway.
Oh, I got to say, that was a great intro. So.
It was loud. I like that. Who recorded that for you? Because that was like perfect level.
I think old Tim McGraw, you know.
Okay, I'm going to play ignorant right now. So, Billy Buck, I honestly have not followed your career like I should have. The last time I actually remember seeing you was the night that Murder One and I shot on the Anarchy building. So fill us in on the past, like, 10 years of your career, basically.
Well, believe it or not, actually, I was the Murder One's match when y'all done that.
I know. That was the last time I saw you. That's the last time that I saw you personally live in the building was the night that we orchestrated that entire, deal with the building. Thank you, Al Getz. And,
right.
I'll take that back. I did follow your feud with Bobby Moore because Bobby Moore is, one of my few real good friends in the business. And so I thought you guys had real good business with that entire feud. I mean, the whole thing from you getting retired and then putting on the mask and all that stuff. So I thought that was a very great one-year-long angle. So fill us in the other, like, 7.5 years. You were part of Anarchy's resurgence in 07, 08. So tell us a little bit about that and kind of how you got started and, the little things.
Oh, yeah. I got started back when it was Wildside, of course. A lot of people don't know that Shadow Jackson and Jeremy Bain and a guy named Silo Storm, I don't know if most people remember him, but they really trained me.
Right.
And I've also been trained with a buddy of mine who is Corey Scott. He goes by Corey Tilly. But they have really prepared me to get on for Wildside. And I remember the first time when Rick Michaels saw me, I think he kind of chuckled because he was like, this is it, that type of. Until this day, I think one of his stories is like, if you brought me Billy Buck from the past and you saw him, he was like just an ordinary guy, but now he's pretty much fans love him in Georgia area, which I'm grateful about. But then they stuck me with a tag team. We were known as the Wild Bunch, Chris King and myself, and it was going really well. And I'm going to shoot for a minute, that some of the guys were running the Anarchy after it went from Wildside to Anarchy kind of looked at me and Chris and told us, we wasn't champion material or we wasn't ready for the I guess you would say, big spot. And that kind of, I don't know, it kind of lit a fire on my behind because of the fact of, you know, I wanted to be meant something, you know. I want these guys to respect me a little bit. And so after we won, we had 08, we had a hardcore hell four-way ladder match. You know, we got match of the year. Me and Chris, we won that match. And just to be sitting there saying, you know, well, these guys are not, you know, they're not the top guys we want. They're not presentable. And so that kind of bothered me and made me work a little bit hard, even though I slacked off there a little bit, but I still stuck with it. And Chris King kind of, he had his own personal problems. He went his own way. And I stuck around, continued to try to, you know, fight to be one of the respected guys and try to get to the top of Anarchy. And they put me in great matches with Bo Newsom. Whether you like him or hate him, I respect a hell of a guy. He and him had some tremendous matches for the television title. After that, they stuck me, like you said, with Bobby Moore. And I have tremendous respect for Bobby Moore. The guy knows what he's doing. Of course, you know, he almost ended my career. Even though I don't like him one bit, but respect is big on my part for him. And we ran for a whole 2012 to 2013, the whole year, just back and forth. And it was just all kinds of matches, you know, and what I can really say that I'm grateful for, it was, they were never the same. I mean, it was just hands down brawls, fighting, you know, like you would go in a bar one day and you just see some guy messing with your wife. I mean, they were just, you know what I mean? They were just it. And I hate to say it, but, you know, we had just, there was chemistry there. So, and I was very glad to take a part of that. And after I, you know, won the television title, that was, actually, that was the one gold I actually wanted to, besides the Anarchy heavyweight belt. I mean, because that's everybody you step in the ring at Anarchy, that's your number one goal. But I looked at the television title as one because I didn't feel as I was prepared yet for the heavyweight, as you could say. I mean, because you got guys like Ace Rockwell, Sean Tempers, Michael Judas, Iceberg. I mean, these guys are phenomenal. And, you know, all you want is just to be like them because they were like your role models in that building. You know what I mean? And Tank and Jeremy Vane and Shadow Jackson, I mean, these guys know what they were all about. And you were just sitting there just watching their matches, whether you liked them or not. They knew what they were doing. They had the knowledge. And so I wanted to learn. And I wanted to get to that stake, but as far as somebody coming and telling me I was not ready, I would agree to that. But then, heck, they talk about at the right time, at the right place, when Mike Posey was doing his, drawing the names out of his hat, he picked me. It was too bad for him. He had to eat my boot, and I became the new champ. But I'm on cloud nine, fellas. I can't explain.
So let's go back a little bit. Like you just said, you know, you and Bobby Moore, you guys were married for over a year, almost 2 years, really. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, you guys just ended the feud, what, back in March? You guys just really finished the feud in March? Or was it at Christmas?
Yep. It was at Christmas. It was at Season's Beatings.
That's right, yeah. So literally, like, so in today's world where every feud is hot-shotted 3-4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, maybe 9 at the most, what is that like to really get a 52-week angle and not only get it and not only be told, hey, we're doing this, but to make it work? How hard was that?
Oh, well, if you're talented like Bobby Moore is, I mean, it was easy come as you go, but it was very challenging. But like I said, there was just something about them. We had a chemistry about each other, and just go in there and blow blows. You know, we tore the house down at some matches, and I do believe. So, I mean, it was very difficult, but it was fun.
Larry, do you have a question?
A couple. One, do you have a personal favorite out of that entire series of matches with Bobby Moore?
That is a good question. I would have to say, if people remember, our very first actual blow would have been the street brawl. We had it, I believe it was at Hostile Environment, I believe it was. That was our first time actually stepping in a ring when we were crazy and going up through the, you know, top of the ladder, going through the tables and all that. I mean, it was just, that was one of my favorites.
Was that the one with the loaded Barney stuffed animal?
Yes, I believe it is. That's exactly right.
Yeah, I was there. I was fortunate enough to witness that one live.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. He's crafty and sneaky at times.
Yeah, and the other thing I was wondering is, you know, most of your career that I'm aware of has been based in Anarchy and in APW in Royston. And I'm wondering about, you know, branching out. Do you want to branch out? Is the reason why you haven't branched out to other places more?
I do want to branch out. I've been talking in some works with some guys. I just made my debut at Flatline this past Saturday down in Grovetown, Georgia. It was a tremendous show. It was excitement. I mean, the crowd was, they draw pretty well. The crowd was all into it. And so I'm talking about going as a regular down that way. And one of my goals is trying to get on with PWX and head up more north area. So like I said, I've been talking to some fellas, and we haven't quite come to an agreement yet, but it's in the works.
Why PWX? Just to kind of, because a lot of guys say that PWX is like the place they want to go now. So do people now see PWX as like that feeder system to maybe like the Ring of Honors and the Evolves and the FIPs? Is that what PWX has kind of become?
Oh, yeah, I truly believe that. And I believe it's just that since, you know, it's the everybody's wanting to get there, and I think some of the best talent that are getting there, and everybody's wanting to compete to see how you know, who's better.
Right.
And so I truly believe it will be like the next Ring of Honor, in my opinion.
Okay. So now let's, you know, you were talking about some of the veteran leadership, and essentially an interesting thing, because last week our guests were on, and they said there wasn't a lot of veteran leadership in the areas where they work shows in the Middle Georgia area. You, on the other hand, get to work in Anarchy, where there's tons of veteran leadership. What's it like to get to pick the brains of Bill Barons, Jeff G. Bailey, Todd Sexton, Iceberg, Shadow, Jeremy V? I mean, there, you know, we can name 45 guys right now that you got to pick their brains in the past decade. What is that like, and how valuable can that be? And is that more important sometimes than, you know, say the monetary gain of working some shows?
Oh, definitely. I used this term before, and it's truly, it's just like with them guys, I'm like a fat kid in a cake store. I'm just trying to ready to pick all these cakes and, you know, and eat. And with these guys, I'm willing to learn for all their knowledge, you know. I mean, it's a great privilege, especially Jeff G. Bailey and Bill Barons and Todd Sexton, and just, you know, these guys know – I mean, they know the business. They know wrestling industry, and just to listen about their knowledge, to learn, and man, it's grateful.
So who's your favorite to learn from?
See, I mean, that is so many. You know, if I really had to pick one, Jeff G. Bailey is the man as far, you know, He's got the package, and to learn from him and stuff. And I actually sit down and talk to Slim J. He would be my second one. He sit there and he's taught me a lot, and he criticized me. He you know, he's straight to me. But he tells me I suck. He tells me if he tells me what I need to work on, he tells me. I mean, he just that's, and I'm very grateful for Slim J's friendship about that.
Jonathan, you got anything?
Yeah, the obviously the Anarchy Championship is arguably the top prize in Georgia wrestling, or at least one of them. And you mentioned some of the other people that have held that title, Michael Judas and Jeter, and, you know, the list goes on and on. So what has it been like since you won the title? How have things changed for you when you show up there? I guess you've only had a couple of shows as champion, and I'm not sure how many times you've defended the title, but what's it like there now?
I haven't defended it yet, and this Saturday, July 12th, I will defend it against the talented Strychnine. So this will be my first title defense. And but just, you know, going in the back as walking in the doors as you used to be is just, okay, I'm willing to learn, and I'm still willing to learn, but now I got the, as you would say, I got something on my shoulders now. You know, you're the heavyweight champ, and at the Anarchy Arena, and everybody's looking for you, looking after you, or gunning for you, and all that. So I mean, it's a great feeling because I'm like I said, I'm willing to learn more and to do my best to whatever it takes to keep on in that belt. That's for sure.
How did Strychnine get the first shot? I mean, haven't you guys been tagging and stuff recently?
Yeah, we have. We not a lot. I mean, because I think you can tell me and Strick are very we're not the same path going as I'm the country boy, country music listening and all that southern boy, and he's his a Strychnine, you know. And he's very talented, like I said, and I believe that he's earned his shot, and I think most of the people agree with that. And so I'm actually looking forward to it because even though he's I know him very well, he knows me very well, so it's going to be very, very challenging.
So you started back in the Wild Side days. Did you work a lot of the Friday night shows when you originally started going there?
I did. That's actually where I got on to Wild Side is when Jeremy and Chad Jackson took me down to meet Rick, and they gave me my first match, and that's where I continued to every Friday night was there, whether it was 5 people up to 100 to 300 people, you know, it was every Friday night, and I loved it.
So now you've been there a long time, so you've seen the changes under when Wildside with Bill, and then Anarchy when it first started when it was Rick and Al Getz, and then from there it became Jerry Palmer, and then it became now it's become Franklin Dove. What's it like working for such different owners, and has it been a hard transition between like different philosophies and different styles, or has it just been a day at the office for you?
Well, I would say it's just like a day at the office for me because I really don't know as far as, Franklin Dove, Jerry Palmer, and Rick, and Al Getz, and all them as far as, like, handling all that stuff. I just get in there and try to do my best and be Billy Buck and go with that, you know.
Larry, do you have anything else?
What do you think are the main things that you had to do to get from the Billy Buck of the Chris King tag team era to the Billy Buck Anarchy Heavyweight Champion Billy Buck to elevate yourself?
First, most people agree is that, you know, I had to get in shape because I wasn't too much in shape back then. Second one is just, just driving to be the best. And I'm not the best by no means, but I mean, just compared to where I was at from the Chris King area, Wild Bunch area to now, I feel like I've come a little bit longer ways than I was. Just learning, like I said, like Slim J has been tremendous help. And Seth DeLay, another kid that I well respected, he's helped me on the long way. And a lot of people don't mention Andrew Alexander.
Yeah, yeah.
So Andrew Alexander is actually, you know, after the Wild Bunch, it was me and him tagging for a while. We actually became a tag champ twice.
The thing you always seemed to have was, and it seemed to me, the instincts of how to be a great baby face. How much of that, you know, how much of that is instinct, and how much of that is, you know, learned stuff as far as just what to do to be a baby face? Because boy, are you, do those people in Cornelia love you?
Well, I'm grateful for that. I studied, and you know, like I said, a lot just listening to other wrestlers that come and go. Brody Ray Chase, you know, the man's full of knowledge. He's also sat down and just taught me so much. I mean, the list goes on and on. And, of course, everybody knows, you know, you watch the tapes back in the day, Dusty Rhodes and, you know, versus Ric Flair. But I just tried to be myself, and I'm just grateful that the fans accept me for who I am, and, you know, and it's been working great. So,
speaking about the fans, and you connect with the fans, and do not take this as an insult, because I do not mean this as an insult. You do not wrestle that Northeast style that a lot of the guys that come into Anarchy try to do and try to get it over and do whatever they can to get that style over the South. You do your own thing, but you do Southern wrestling. Why does that continue to work in Cornelia when the other styles that's more nationally recognized just cannot get over in that building?
You know, and this is my opinion. It's they're used to being that Southern wrestling. You know, it's Georgia. That's what they were brought up on, and it's just basically, you know, it's like a. I think somebody used this terminology before. It's like a pair of pants, just that they're trying to try them on to see if they fit. And these new guys are coming in trying their wrestling style. It's basically like that. They're not gotten used to it yet. And I believe it's changing quickly. And it's just a matter of time before it's going to be like the Southern wrestling, in my opinion.
Like, you mean everybody's going to have to go more Southern style?
Right.
Okay.
And that, I mean, like I said, that's just my opinion, and it could be wrong, but that's just the way I feel.
No, I completely agree with you. I think wrestling needs its psychology. I think it needs a good story. I think it needs emotion. I think that's what's been missing for about 7-8 years now, and that's why, like, you see, I mean, sure, the shows draw 300-400 people, but I think when you can get that story to connect, that's when it's going to, I think the business is going to carry back over. I mean, you see how good WrestleMania does every year, and WrestleMania is the one show that you're guaranteed a great story. Now, going to your library, your category, like your catalog, what's your go-to DVD or VHS tape that you pull out? Because even if you watch it a million times, you can still learn from it.
A lot of people will tell you it would be the Shawn Michaels, My Journey. Just his matches. I watch all his matches. I can repeatedly just watch them over and over and over, and I'm still just learning so much.
Do they not get boring to you, though, because it's the same spots over and over again?
I guess it don't to me, because even though it's the same spots over and over, is that you're sitting there watching it, but you can also, you know, critique it to be yours. You know what I mean?
I got you. Because that's the thing. Like for me, 91 to 97, Shawn Michaels is some of my favorite wrestling to watch. 2002 to his retirement, it's the same match over and over again. I can't get into him.
Right.
I don't know what it is. It's just me.
Right. And you know, and my favorite ones of his was been the 95 to the 97. I mean, even though he was, you know, his own business, but just those matches I really enjoyed.
Oh, his matches were fantastic those years. The matches with Owen Hart did. The matches with Steve Austin was fantastic. The matches with Brett. I could talk about those matches all day long. But
yeah,
exactly. I noticed a lot of kids, like, yeah, not kids, but a lot of the younger generation, your age and so forth, they really love the Shawn Michaels. And you know, do you feel that, like, too many people, like, enjoying Shawn Michaels, they don't go and say, oh, well, let me study some Chris Adams, who Shawn Michaels kind of took from, or they don't study the Ricky Morton, who Shawn took from, or they don't study, you know, the Eddie Gilbert or the Ric Flair. I mean, do you do that? Do you say, okay, who did Shawn like, and you kind of find four or five guys that he liked and watch them too?
Oh, definitely. I'm a big fan. I watch Ricky Morton stuff all the time. You know, all the old history, and, like, me and Shadow Jackson will communicate and talk a lot about, and, you know, all those DVDs and stuff back in the past, just not Michael's DVDs and his matches and stuff. Well, I mean, it's just like I'm glued to. But, you know, I'm a big HBK fan. Everybody knows that, so.
Is that where the super kick came from?
I would have to say Shawn Michaels came from me. No, I'm joking. Yes.
Oh, okay, I got you. Larry, I'll let you fall with that one.
I know Anarchy fans certainly know that your dad has been the timekeeper there at Anarchy for a long time, and he's been having some health problems, and I just wanted to ask, how's he doing?
He is doing better than what he was, that's for sure, thank goodness. He wasn't there at the last show because he was feeling under the weather. But hopefully everything, he's doing better now, and hopefully he'll be there this Saturday to root meal.
And one last question. After you dispatch with Strychnine, and I like Strychnine, but I have a feeling you're going to get past him and that he's not going to take the title from you, what do you see on the horizon, or what would you like to see? Who would you like to get in the ring with for that title?
Can it be more than just one?
It can be as many as you want. We got 20 minutes.
I would love to have the opportunity to step in the ring that I've never stepped in the ring with would be Ace Rockwell.
Mm.
That would be nice.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
And also Michael Judas. I've stepped in the ring with Michael Judas several times in the past, but one time at Anarchy, and he did get the better of me. And I'd like to see if things can change by that. And my next one is, of course, Sean Tempers, always. He's a like to step in the ring with him again. And another guy that I've actually never stepped in the ring with except for tag team, and he's more like a teacher to me, but it's something I've always wanted to prove to myself if I can go toe-to-toe with, is Slim J. As one guy I want to step in the ring with.
That's a pretty good list. I would also like to throw Iceberg on that list, just because I think that the dichotomy of you versus Iceberg could be a good thing for business.
Oh, definitely. I have stepped in the ring with Iceberg, I believe, twice in my whole Anarchy and Wildside career. And, I'm going to have a lot of work to keep up with that man. He's phenomenal.
So let's go back to your victory over Mike Posey. It had to have been the most important moment in your wrestling career. What was it like? Set the stage, tell a story, you know, really, you know, kind of like give us that entire, like, the emotional vibe, you know, the crowd reaction, everything from your perspective. What was that like? I've seen the video, and I just want to know, like, firsthand, what was that like to finally get, you know, the brass ring of you know, the Church of Southern Wrestling?
Oh, man, that is just hard to describe. It was unbelievable. Because, you know, it was a 10-year run, and you never believe it would happen, you know, because you have a lot of people doubting that you're even, you know, worthy enough to do it. But after it was said and done, I mean, the emotion started coming. I was trying my best. A lot of people saw me. You know, I'm an emotional guy when that happened, so I did have tears come out. But, I mean, the excitement, I mean, I was stunned mainly. I couldn't believe it really happened. So, I mean, words can't even describe how I really felt. I just know that 10-year run that I worked my butt off for and believed that it couldn't happen, and it actually did. I mean, it was great.
So now that you are the top guy at Anarchy, does that mean that, like, do you feel extra pressure? Like, do you feel like, you know, if the crowd's down, it's your fault? Or the crowd's, you know, like, do you now feel like you're the guy that you have to make this be more than just a title reign, but you have to, you know, kind of help get the building back up to 250 plus every show? I mean, do you feel that's part of your responsibility now?
I definitely do. I do, and that's what I'm going to continue to work my butt off and hopefully we can make that happen. Because Anarchy is it's home to me, and I would say that for anybody, Anarchy is the place to be right now, from my opinion. And I know everybody's going to, you know, PWX and all that, but just the learning stage, the wrestling ability from these guys, to Anarchy is it for me. You know, and I would tell anybody that.
What do you think it would take to besides excellent wrestling, which Anarchy has, what's it going to take to get the crowds up, be more than the, you know, 100 for TV and, you know, of course, usually the close to 200 or more for the big show? Is it possible to increase those numbers, do you think?
Oh, yeah, I firmly believe it's possible, and I believe that we're heading in that direction. And only time will tell, but I believe we're heading, you know, we're getting a great start as getting them back. So, and I so hard to believe it's gonna pay off here soon.
Kind of on that whole, like, vibe there, you know, last fall, Anarchy was back. They were getting almost 300, almost every TV taping, you know, well over 200 for every TV taping at least. And then the big shows were doing very well. When did the, like, why is it such a fluctuation in the business? I mean, is the summer really hurt you guys that much, or is it the increased competition from that other show in the area? Like, what really affects you guys business-wise? Because it seems like every year, you know, spring and summer just does not do very well for Cornelia Wrestling, but then the fall picks right back up, and then it's like the same cycle for the past, like, 4 or 5 years. Is there something going on in the area why that happens, or, you know... You know, I'm not up in the area, so, you know, kind of clue us in on things that might be going on in Cornelia that could affect business in the summertime.
Well, I mean, I believe there's a lot of stuff that's competing against us. I mean, whether it's, you know, high school football games, college football games, I mean, all this stuff that, you know, people go out and enjoy. So, I mean, yeah, we're in a lot of competition. But, you know, truly, I hope it gets better and stuff, and, you know, you really can't say, but I just hope it does. It's been around this long, and I feel like it's going to continue to be even longer. So.
Now, another thing, because you brought up the PWX, but also Anarchy. You know, back in the day, Wildside was the Ring of Honor of the South. Wildside was the place to go, and Anarchy was, too, there for a while. Do you feel like PWX being that close, you know, 3.5-4 hours, PWX taking some of the top talent from Anarchy has hurt Anarchy any? And is there like a, you know, kind of a locker room feel that, hey, we're just as good as these guys and we want to be, and our TV can be just as good as theirs when it wants to be? Like, is there that kind of like locker room, like team thing, like, hey, we're just as good as PWX, guys, you know, let's focus on building this back up?
Of course, yes. That's exactly, you hit it right on the nose. So, I mean, it's just like that. We got guys in there who are willing to fight and better themselves, just as like myself, and, you know, do whatever it takes to go out there and do what we do with the best.
Jonathan, you got anything?
Yeah. You also have a big match coming up at APW's Freedom Fight. First of all, I'm seeing conflicting information. Is that on this Friday, the 11th, or the 18th?
It'll be the 18th.
Okay.
It's Freedom. Yeah, it's Freedom Fights, APW Freedom Fight Big Show, July the 18th.
Okay. And you're challenging there for the Southern States title, is that right?
That is. That is correct. We'll be stepping inside a 15-foot steel cage.
Have you, and I'm guessing you and Jacob Ashworth, since you both work APW and Anarchy on a regular basis, that you've faced each other previously?
Yes, we have. We have faced each other multiple times. Sometimes he knows how to weasel his way out. But at July 18th, you know, we're going to be locked inside of a steel cage, so he won't be able to leave his, anywhere. He'll be able to be right there and get the beating he deserves, actually.
So you, APW has the North Georgia Championship and the Southern States Championship. Which one is considered the top belt there?
It will be the Southern States.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you could conceivably basically rule the North Georgia area if you win that title.
Northeast Georgia area, the Northeast Georgia area.
Right, right.
Yes.
Still got Empire and Rossville doing very good business, guys. I'm sorry. But would you like to go work for your buddy Andy Alexander up in Rossville? I mean, you know, I think it's right there. I think you and Tempers could have some fantastic matches up in Rossville. I mean, is that something you've thought about?
No, yes, I have. And like I said, some of the stuff's in the works. I've been talking with Andrew, and we'll just see. Hopefully things can go good.
Deep Southern
your name came up Saturday night at Peach Day when I was talking to Rick Michaels.
He
was, in the context of one, he remembered, like as you said, he remembered you from the Friday night shows at the Wild Side, and when you weren't too good yet, and comparing to how great you are now, and in the matches you had with Bobby Moore, and he certainly would. He has interest, of course. They have a cowboy out there is the problem. They've got one cowboy already, so I don't know if there's room for two cowboys on that show.
Well, they would tag him and call him the Blackjacks.
There you go. That'll work.
There's always room for two cowboys in Georgia wrestling. What are you talking about?
Yeah, there are a lot of cowboys in Carrollton.
Plus, that cowboy's actually from Alabama. So, anyway...
Perfect angle right there, Larry. Just put Georgia versus Alabama. It always works.
I would say that would work myself.
You might have to be the heel there, though, with that guy. Those people just love him. I don't care where he's from. They just love him. But in any case, I'm digressing here.
Are you talking about Dustin McWilliam?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So I got to ask, okay, Billy Buck, you're in charge of WWE, Emma Schaaf lifts an iPad, pink one I might add, for $21. Do you fire her and then rehire her, or you just let it just, you know, do you just kind of like bury her and make her just job for a few weeks? How do you handle that situation?
Oh, man, that was the talk of, you know, a lot of people who got the DUIs and stuff, you know, they just got the big fines and dealt with and they never got released. If it was me, I would have done the same. It's like, you know, fine, do your punishment, but I wouldn't have fired her. But, you know, that's not me. That's them.
Well,
and they apparently.
I will say this. As someone who has had a DUI, I did not get fired from my corporate job. But had I stole something, I would have been fired immediately.
Yeah.
So I know that for a fact. But at the same time, in the Bible, DUI is not a Ten Commandment. I'm just saying.
True that.
But I do think that they handled it very wrong. But I always just like to ask other people's thoughts on that because it's in the business. And how do you save TNA? Can you save TNA?
Of course. I mean, they got Gunner. Gunner can... save TNA because he's just that great.
He's saving Sam Shaw right now, isn't he?
That's exactly right. So it's after him. He's going to save TNA, and you know, I'm a Gunner guy.
You know, TNA since Slammiversary, they've changed their pace quite a bit. I don't know how or what happened, but it's been a complete turnaround.
They listened to Larry say it was unwatchable. That's all it was. Larry Goodman said it was unwatchable. They said, oh, Larry Goodman just said we were unwatchable. We got to fix this product.
It has gotten more watchable the last week, so I said I wouldn't have
I thought last week's episode was good, actually.
Yeah.
I thought last week's episode was better than Raw.
I agree with that.
Raw put me to sleep last week. It was just, I just thought it was boring. And I'm sorry, I'm not a Jericho guy anymore.
Is it because he started his own podcast?
A horrible podcast at that. It's Talk is Jericho.
I can't say much because I'm a Jericho guy.
I was a Jericho guy. In 1998, Jericho was awesome. But, you know, this is 2014. It's like it's the same shtick. It's like, come on. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I think the business needs some fresh blood. I don't – and that's – honestly, when you first won the championship, I'm like, it was a head-scratcher. But then I watched the video. I said, you know what? That's what that company needs. They need a breath of fresh air, and you brought that. I heard the crowd pop, and I was like, this could work. This might be what they need because, you know, you connect to the people, and that's something that that area has missed for so long is a true – super Shadow Jackson, I think, was the last guy that really connected with the audience, and besides Shatter, of course. And I felt like he just pulled the rug out of Shadow way too soon. I thought he could have ran with that title for a long time and really helped rebuild the fan base, and they flipped him so quickly. I don't know. I felt like when they flipped Shadow, they just lost a whole lot of momentum, and they've been scrambling to get it back ever since. But I think you are on the right track with you at the top of the card, just my opinion.
Well, thank you. That means a lot.
Larry, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think you covered it. I mean, I'm happy that Billy's gotten this shot, and I'd like to see him run with it.
I agreed, and I think it's a breath of fresh air. And like you just said, you've never worked Ace Rockwell. You very seldom worked Iceberg. You very seldom worked Slim J. I love Sean Timbers to death, but we've seen Sean Timbers and Ace Rockwell since 2006 a million times. And I'm sure those matches are fantastic every time they're out, but I'd like to see Sean Timbers and Billy Buck hook it up. I want to see Billy Buck hook it up with, you know, CB Suave, Tommy Pinarelli, some of that new blood.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And, you know, a lot of people like Jackson James and John Stoller, another good young talent.
Corey Hall is another good one. There's a lot of young talent up there that people haven't really seen yet that I think could surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So, and I do think you and Michael Adrian would be nice, too, now that I think about it.
Yeah, that's the one I've been pushing for, and I even he might disagree, but I'll hunt him down, find him whatever he can, and I will do whatever I can to get him in the ring. And I might pay for it later, but it'll be worth it.
You probably will pay for it.
But yeah. You know what? We've heard this saying how many times all our lives, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And, Michael Judas is the man. So.
Yeah, and you said you said you were going to be a fighting champion, so
that's exactly
right. Bring him on.
Now, you guys are doing Hostile Environment on July 26th, correct?
I am.
Is there any matches set for that one yet?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Is there any matches set for July 26th yet?
I'm not sure yet.
Only the tag title, the three-way tag title with Sexton and Moore versus Bullets versus UAS. That one has been
okay.
Out.
That's okay. Cool. So there is no War Games this year at Hostile Environment.
No War Games.
No.
Wow, is that a first time ever?
I don't remember clearly. I don't think so.
Might have to check on that one, too. That's probably unique to me.
It's probably a good thing to get away from that War Games thing.
Oh, thank God somebody's getting away from it.
Well, and Anarchy got away from it for the right reasons. They didn't have a War Games match built, so there was no sense in doing one.
Right.
You know that. You know what? Now that you said that, there really isn't a big stable right now at Anarchy at all, is there?
Yeah. I think they're working on that, and I'm not sure.
Yeah,
is that
Bailey's just managing Sean Timbers, right? Or is Bailey managing anybody else now?
No, he's back up to full strength with Seven.
Yep.
That's
in
right.
Berg.
Seven. That's right.
In Berg, yeah.
Seven and Billy Buck could be some interesting matches too.
Yes. Yes, I stepped in the ring with him, I think twice, and I would like to go toe to toe again.
So yeah, definitely a lot of fresh blood up there.
No factions of more than three people?
No, you stopped that rule a while ago, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think. Well, Jonathan, you got anything else?
I think we've covered pretty much everything. Is there anything else you wanted to add, Billy Buck, that we may have forgotten to ask?
Well, I appreciate the time and opportunity to come on your show. And everybody just check out Anarchy and July 18th at BW in Royston, Georgia, Freedom Fight. And, you know, it's going to be one heck of a show also. But that's
well, I just
want
to say thank you for answering the questions and not doing it in a one-word sentence and showing that you care about the business and you're passionate and that you actually have a little bit of fire underneath you.
Yes, thank you, and I appreciate that.
Well, Jonathan, right. Let me just say this before we get out of here. We are happy to be sponsored by Audible.com. It's a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information, also known as audiobooks. They have over 150,000 titles, some of which I mentioned earlier in the show, and you can get your free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/GWH radio. You get one free audiobook with your one-month trial of service. It's a great thing. If you got a smartphone, you got a tablet, you're at the office on the computer or whatever you do, get a book, learn something. It's great. You don't have to know how to read. You just got to know how to work a smartphone. And there you go, audible.com or audibletrial.com/GWH radio. That's our 30-day free trial. It's from us to you.
All right. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, I would really appreciate it if people would vote for WrestlingWithPopCulture.com in Creative Loafing's Best of Atlanta. So hopefully it'll win 3 years in a row. That is, voting begins July 13th and ends July 19th. And it's at clatl.com/Best of Atlanta. Next week's guest, you kind of segued into it a little bit with your comments about people answering questions with one-word answers, Josh. Next week we're talking to Tessa Blanchard, who should have been on the line with Cameron Cade a few weeks ago.
Yes, she should have, and that's going to be an exciting interview. And speaking of which, I just want to throw this out there. Tomorrow is Jonathan Williams' birthday, so everyone on Facebook, please, please post the most obscene photographs you can possibly find to wish Jonathan a happy birthday.
Yes, please do. And all I want for my birthday is for people to vote for WrestlingWithPopCulture.com.
Hey, that's a good birthday present. I might do that because it's cheap and I can afford it.
I can handle that one.
Don't worry, Jonathan. My birthday is a week after yours, so.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes, I don't put it out there much. But I will be at FIP on Friday just because, and Larry, you're going to mark out this one too. They booked Eva Leese versus Shanna. If that's not a women's dream match, just for the looks of what's in the ring, then I don't know what else is.
Enjoy.
Man, Shanna is one of the hottest women in the wrestling business, and why TNA didn't sign her, I'll never understand.
Larry, are there any shows this weekend that you're going to, or any that stand out?
I probably will be at Anarchy, although also running is, of course, NWA Atlanta is running, and bringing in Powers of Pain to face Tyson Dean and Andy Anderson. And Southern Fried Wrestling is also running on Saturday night.
I will give kudos to NWA Atlanta for bringing in Powers of Pain before they work the show in McDonough in 2 weeks.
And
yeah.
One side note that is not really new news, but just confirmed with our ace reporter from the Carolinas, Jeff Richards, that PWX is off television.
Oh, they are?
The show that aired with no commentary was apparently the final episode that aired on television. So they've actually been off for several weeks off TV in Charlotte.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But they still say TV tape on all their posters.
Well, maybe they plan on resuming. I'll have to ask Jeff to get on that and see what he can find out. But at this point, they are off.
That last poster I saw, I know Jake Manning has pulled out of that, and that's when a lot of the rumors started. But, of course, I didn't want to, you know, specify anything because I didn't know what was going on. But I had heard that Jake Manning had pulled out of his obligations with the company, and then I noticed the roster has changed quite somewhat since then.
Yes, the money is not. I mean, it would appear they're not spending as much on talent as they were in the earlier.
Yeah, they stopped doing the triple shots and the double shots and all that. Oh, well, I guess you're right. Yeah, the poster for the June show did not say TV taping. You are correct. My bad.
Well, it looks like APW is running this Friday. I guess that'll be the go-home show for Freedom Fight up in Royston.
Fireman show is next Saturday as well in Thompson, Georgia. I don't know the name of the company,
right,
though.
Yeah, and those, I haven't made it up to one, but they always sound like great shows. So,
dude, he packs that place. He gets like 600-700 people at every event. I'm about to like have him write a ebook on how to promote wrestling. You think I'm joking too?
What is it called? Summer Smackdown?
I think this one's called like the Summer Sizzling Bat. I have to look it up, man. I am so bad with names of shows. Okay,
well,
I'm pulling up right now. His show is called. Oh, goodness gracious, I can't find it. Here it is. The Summer Smackdown 2. Front row, $10. Floor seats are 8. General admission is 5. Kids and under are free.
And where is that?
That is in Sweetwater Gym in Thompson, Georgia. That is, I believe, where he is a firefighter. It's a loaded show with Vordell Walker, Muso Janaka, Black Baron, Brandon Parker. Looks like Axel Ross is on the poster. Marco's on the poster. I believe that might be Stitch. I can't tell. I'm just looking at the poster. Ken Lee's also on the show and some of the others.
That's Saturday, right?
That'll be Saturday, July 12th.
And it looks like UIW is running again in Temple. And then Livewire Wrestling is in Augusta at Alter Ego Sports Bar. Let's see who's on that. Cameron Cade, the Fireman, Brandon Parker, Fred Yehi. Plenty of great shows this weekend. Go check them out. And go to gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com for all those and other upcoming events. And I guess that's it. So, yeah, tune in next week. We'll be talking to Tessa Blanchard, the daughter of Terry Blanchard.
Tully, don't you ever disrespect one of the greatest wrestlers of all time again. You say it correctly. It's Tully.
Tully, I'm sorry.
My
I was.
Goodness. Terry Blanchard. How. Oh, my God. Jonathan Williams, you just killed me right there on that one. Tully's my favorite wrestler of all time. I can't believe you just said that.
I apologize.
There goes your vote, Jonathan. You just lost his vote.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I'm not voting now. You don't even know who Tully Blanchard is. How can you run a blog?
I know who Tully Blanchard is. I just. Maybe.
Called him Terry.
I know.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, there goes another blog about us on Wednesday.
I'll take the heat on this one.
That's okay. I don't care.
All right. Well, thanks.
We need to get Larry
as
a blog,
always.
Too.
What's that?
We need Larry to get a blog going.
Yeah. Well, he does reviews.
He does a lot of reviews and notes, but, I mean, could you imagine, like, one place that's just, like, LarryGoodman.com where you need to get all of his past reviews?
No, thanks. No, thanks. Don't even start that. No, thanks.
Oh, well, it was worth a shot.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Larry. Thank you, Josh.
Sure.
Thanks to Billy Buck. We'll be back next Monday at 7.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.